Stocks the world over are on the rise, and the bulls of 2016 showing no sign of a January hangover.
Volvo execs say that by the year 2020, no one will be killed or seriously injured in a new Volvo.
If an autonomous car hits another autonomous car, who's at fault? In any event, who's at fault? If there's nobody driving the thing, is it the manufacturer, is it the software writer, is it somebody else?
Amazon shipped 50% more items this holiday season than last for third-party vendors, and it doubled the amount for 2016 overall.
It's one of thousands of new products on display at the world's biggest tech event, CES.
This is actually a flying robot. It's a flying piece of artificial intelligence. So it's like your personal photographer follows you around and records your life.
The arrival of a McDonald's in the shadow of the Holy See is not, they say, a happy meal.
I'm loving it.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is Thursday, and today is January 5th, 2017. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Welcome to another business day. It's more like the Holy Mac, I think, probably, that McDonald's that's opened up in Vatican City. How about that? The Pope can go and get a large order of fries, maybe a McChicken or Chicken McNuggets. I wonder if he uses barbecue sauce. Going to be sweet and sour. Who knows? But it's there. The first McDonald's at the Vatican. Good stuff. Lots of stuff happening today. We'll get to some other big stories after we check the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures are pointing up just a little bit, though, up about 4 points right now. The NASDAQ and S&P futures are lower. It could be a lower open on Wall Street later this morning. The dollar slid on the Fed's considerable uncertainty about Donald Trump. That's right. The Fed minutes out yesterday show that the Federal Reserve Open Market Committee, Federal Open Market Committee, was a little bit worried, concerned. They talked a little bit about Donald Trump's victory. It was on their minds. The FOMC unanimously approved a quarter point hike that pushed the target range for a short-term lending rate between 0.5% and 0.75%, indicated a somewhat more aggressive path forward, maybe 2-3 of the increases coming this year. The markets reacted sharply to the election outcome initially, and then they were down and then they were up. But while no mention of Trump during the meeting, the impact of the election on the markets and the economy seemed to be discussed extensively as we review the minutes of the last Federal Reserve meeting where they raised interest rates back in December. This morning on the rest of the markets, the Dow yesterday added just a few points as it moved forward to 19,942. The S&P jumped about 0.5%. The NASDAQ was up almost 1% yesterday. This morning, the dollar is higher against the yen, and we're seeing oil prices just still trending a little bit higher as we've watched them march towards $60, $53.33 a barrel this morning. A couple of other stories we thought you'd be interested in. Over in France, in Paris, the census there showed in 2009 one mark of the population of Paris. And another snapshot recently says maybe Airbnb is having an impact on the population of Paris. And so we could see more restrictions being placed on Airbnb in Paris. Another interesting story today, Chinese media, state media, warning U.S. President-elect Donald Trump that he will be met with, in their words, big sticks if he tries to ignite a trade war or further strain ties. The quote from Chinese Ministry of Commerce says, "There are flowers around the gate of China's Ministry of Commerce, but there are also big sticks hidden inside the door that both await the Americans," the Communist Party Global Times newspaper wrote in an editorial that's being published today. Well, this is Thursday. It's our thought leader conversation. We have it every Thursday with Associated Bank, our partner. And in the studio this morning is Chuck Garcia. And our conversation this morning is going to focus on 2017, some of the trends in commercial and consumer banking. Chuck is the Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management at Associated Bank. Chuck, first of all, Happy New Year to you. It's good to see you for the first time this year.
Happy New Year to you.
Did you have a good holiday?
We did. Yes, it was great.
So we're in 2017. It's hard to believe the new year's already here and that it's 2017. What do we have to look forward to? What's on your radar screen in terms of trends coming this year?
Well, I think, you know, the interest rate environment is very interesting. Obviously, rates were raised at the end of last year. So I think the built-in expectation of further increases in 17 are on people's minds, and I think already built into expectations at least two, perhaps three more increases. I think the regulatory environment is very much on people's mind with the new administration and the potential rollbacks of certain elements of the banking regulation and other regulations in industry are very much on people's minds.
The rollback of those regulations is front and center this week. We're already seeing the House convening and talking about some of this stuff. There could be dozens, if not hundreds, of rollbacks. What's the danger? What are the positives and negatives of doing some of this?
Well, I think the positives are picking things that really could potentially improve either people's livelihoods and well-being or really enhance business environments. I think wholesale changes on broad sweeping elements, I think, have very much a low potential and could really harm certain elements of the economy or definitely in people's lives.
One of the trends that I see a lot of folks talking about for the coming year is the sense that maybe banking services are going to no longer be limited by some banks to retail customers, that it's going to go on, that there's going to be more commercial activity. Is that a trend that you see coming as well?
Very much so. I think you're seeing it already in certain areas. I can speak for our bank. Mobile type of payments, doing transactions over mobile devices as security improves, getting balances. So many of the things that consumers utilize today, remote deposit via your cell phone, things of that nature, very much are finding their way into the commercial markets.
If you had to give our listeners a sense of how much business is commercial versus retail, are they both equal at a bank like Associated Bank, or is it more? One has more than the other?
I think we're a little bit unusual. Often the balance sheet can be tilted very much more toward a consumer or commercial banking environment. Ours is very much split in the middle. I think it's just a makeup of where we sit in the country. You look at the larger banks, the balance sheet will be comprised of a lot of high-end corporate. But in our case, it's very much split evenly.
Are there any unique challenges to commercial clients versus retail clients?
You know, they're demanding. They're more demanding, I'd say, as technology changes. The expectations are you change along with it. Certainly consumers are that way, but I'd say they're less likely to move and more slow to move because they're so intertwined with their banks.
Chuck, hang on with us here. We're going to take a break. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, some stocks of local interest moving this morning include the Boeing Company, up about 1.5%. And also this morning, we're watching Allstate up about 0.5%. It's 5:18.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Stocks were higher yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closing at 19,942 and edging toward the 20,000 mark. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ Composite also closed on the upside. Americans bought a record number of cars and trucks last year thanks to low interest rates and a solid job market. 17.5 million vehicles were sold in 2016, the seventh straight year-over-year sales gains. That streak could be in jeopardy as interest rates and vehicle prices rise. A lawsuit filed by the Labor Department seeks to bar Google from doing business with the federal government. The suit alleges that Google has repeatedly refused to provide information as part of an audit designed to ensure the company is not discriminating against its employees. And Rex Tillerson will take a major pay cut if he's confirmed as the next Secretary of State, as Donald Trump would like him to be. But his former employer, ExxonMobil, plans to take care of him with a $180 million retirement package. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 520, our thought leader conversation this morning with Chuck Garcia, the Director of Commercial Deposits Treasury Management at Associated Bank. And Chuck, as we look ahead to the new year, there's a lot of hope that optimism, too, that the economy will not only continue cooking along, but get a little better. And how will that impact accounts, for instance, at Associated Bank?
Well, it's interesting. I think it's one of two ways. I think there just saw an article yesterday talking about an increase in expectations of building out factory, increasing machinery. Again, for our client base, it'll be one of two things. Either they utilize cash that has been sitting idle, or they may have the need, in our case, to borrow against lines that they may have left idle for long periods while they were waiting to see what's going to happen.
One of the other trends for this year, too, is more social media activity. And this is something with our partnership with you at Associated Bank. We're seeing you guys involved in this more and seeing more Associated Bank tweets and social media interaction. Why is this an area that needs to be brought to the front and improved on or expanded?
Well, the utilization of social media can flame out very quickly. I mean, you can, if you do something inappropriate, for example, right, it can catch fire very quickly because people can spread a lot of information very quickly. Conversely, you can use it to your benefit. And if things are going well or you have a particular thing that you did well for a client, it can also have a very positive influence. I think more often than not, it can tend to move itself in a negative fashion if you don't do something well.
We saw a report yesterday that most people, just general people, are on Facebook. I think it was 70% versus about 29% on Twitter, about 29 or 30% on Instagram, and also LinkedIn. Is there a place where banks see better activity or more activity? Do you focus on one area over another?
I think especially in the consumer space, utilization of Twitter, Facebook, I think is more apt to be utilized. I think in the corporate market, LinkedIn is certainly an element where people connect more professionally, more from a personal basis than utilization of a particular product push or informational flow like that.
And it's a good business-to-business model, too. It's a place where you don't really have to spend advertising dollars. A bank like Associated can go out and interact with somebody they want to do business with one-on-one.
Well, and you can manage your messaging very well, mm-hmm, as well, yes.
So as you do this, we talked about the negative part of this, but there's also a positive, too. What kinds of things? Is it video, photographs? Is it just a message? Is it the kind of the articles that we do with our thought leader discussion that go on your social media account?
I think all the above. Or if you have a particular accreditation, perhaps. In our case, we've had some really, really positive news from J.D. Power. You can spread a message that is well known by many people in an industry that say, wow, that if that has a positive in a particular organization, you can utilize that and spread that message very broadly, very quickly.
The other big trend this year that people are talking about is the Internet of Things, digital devices, artificial intelligence, so all of these things where people, both retail and commercial, interact with you at the bank. What one of these things do you say is going to be the big one if you had to pick?
Well, I think the use of the Internet continues to just be wide open. I think exploring different ways to send information, initiate transactions, communicate with your clients, be they consumer or commercial, it continues to be wide open, and exploring those and securing that environment too is very, very important to us. The cybersecurity is front and center with us every day and needs to be with all of our banks.
There is a downside to some of that as well. In one of our past thought leader conversations, we talked about the notion of having some of this stuff in place at an Associated Bank doing that, but also making sure you have that one-on-one interaction available where if somebody wants to come and see you for face-to-face, they can.
Of course, absolutely.
And why is that important?
Well, I think it depends on the client needs and what their wants are. Some people want to look across the table and believe that you're listening to their needs, and I think that's a very, very important element. For some subset, they just want to interact on email. And so I think being able to provide different channels for people to communicate with you and being able to adjust and adapt to that is something that, for a bank our size, is really, really critical. We have to be able to hit on all fronts.
The Internet of Things is something that we hear a lot about. The Consumer Electronics Show's going on this week, and it's one of those times where we kind of see some of the future. And there are all kinds of different things with financials that are coming out, all kinds of different devices where people can access their bank from the refrigerator if they want. They can do all kinds of, you know, if they're, you know, in their garage and they need to, that's coming, right? I mean,
It's here. It really is.
So what is the big one there? Can we really check our bank accounts from our refrigerator?
I can't speak to that one. Right. I really wanted to go to that show, by the way, too. That looks like an amazing thing. If you have a proper device that you have proper access and credentials, yes, you can basically get information. I think that the advent that we're all a little cautious on is money movement. In particular, I will tell you in my case, as it relates to corporates and commercials, actual money movement from bank A to bank B is still a bit of an unknown territory. Some banks offer it. I think that's an arena that you need to be very, very concerned and careful about. But I think it's coming. And as security continues to improve, I think you'll see that become more prevalent in the marketplace. Very prominent today in the consumer markets.
So in a consumer market, in a commercial market, it would be like I would be able to, if my mother or my sister is on a different bank account and I was with Associated Bank, it would be that talking to another bank and sending money to her
yes,
account,
absolutely.
Right? The danger in that, obviously, with all of the talk about hacking, is that in itself, right, hacking?
Absolutely it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
What are the challenges in terms of locking that down? Do you think that's going to be coming soon, or is it still a ways off?
Well, it is happening today. There are consumer-to-consumer payments, most definitely, that are very prevalent and have been for some time today. The corporate-to-corporate type of payments, it is happening as well. In our particular case, we're moving pretty slow on that front just because of the hacking and the security elements. But again, as security opportunities present themselves that really you feel more secure that you can protect your client and the bank, I think that will become pretty mainstream in the coming years.
This notion of how things are going to look in the future with CES and some of these devices, I heard someone talking the other day that we may be heading toward an economy where we don't have to use money anymore, that it will be on devices. How is that going to happen in our lifetime, do you think?
Well, since I'm older than you, it may not for me, but I think it eventually will. When is that time? I think it will be longer than most of the prognosticators out there indicate. I think it will take longer. I think of the day past where there would be no cash transactions was not, you know, in my career in banking, you know, it would have been past 25 years ago, and that clearly is not the case today. You know, and then the checks don't exist any longer. Checks are still a very significant payment method.
Well, we look forward to seeing you again next time, and Happy New Year.
And same to you. Thank you.
Chuck Garcia is the Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management at Associated Bank. And remember, you can listen to more of our thought leader conversations. We archive them on our Associated Bank and the Opening Bell page on our website, WGNradio.com. You can also follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz. Our thought leader conversations every Thursday here on the Opening Bell.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 5:36 on our Thursday edition of the show. You ever got a bag of potato chips and maybe there's like 10 potato chips inside of it and the rest of it is all air? Well, our next guest is going to talk a little bit about why that is and how we as consumers are maybe getting taken for a ride in some cases. Tim Smith is the author of Pricing Done Right, also the founder and CEO of Wiglaf Pricing, also a DePaul professor. Professor Smith, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. It's a wonderful day in Chicago.
Yeah, it's not even daylight outside. It's
coming.
Yeah, we always call this our pre-dawn conversation, and most of the year it is. But, you know, this notion that we're not really getting our money's worth, is that a fair way to describe what's happening in some of these cases?
Sometimes you may feel that way, but I wouldn't actually say that you're not getting a fair deal. The question is always, is the buyer aware of what they're actually getting? Are they aware of the transaction they're engaged in? As long as the buyer is aware and accepts the transaction, it's hard to call that unfair.
Are U.S. consumers more aware than other consumers around the world, or is it the other way around? The worldly consumers are more aware than we are?
It is regionally dependent. I would say most U.S. consumers actually pay less attention than what you might see in Europe. It's a completely different story if you start looking at Latin America, Africa, or Asia. In Europe, they're very, very price conscious and very consumer protected oriented.
They almost went to the streets over this Toblerone controversy. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Toblerone decided that they needed to reduce the amount of chocolate per bar. It's equivalent to a price change, just reduce the package but keep the price the same. In America, this is a very common approach. Consumers accept it. They don't get upset. But in Toblerone's case, how they reduce the package size, the grams of chocolate, is by increasing the space between the peaks of the chocolate and making the peaks themselves smaller. People did not like that at all.
But the fact that people noticed that they actually noticed, because whenever I open a Toblerone, I just start crunching on it. I don't even look at it. But it's important for us to look at stuff. Is that the lesson, the takeaway lesson?
Well, for Toblerone, that was definitely something Mondelez learned. People look at that. And other things people don't look at very much.
So the pricing part of this is it's after you find the name of your business and sort of decide what you're going to do, price point is one of the big conversations that happens in boardrooms, isn't it?
It is, and if it's not, it should be. Companies fail, go bankrupt because they mess up on pricing. Companies succeed, make a billion because they got pricing done right. And that is a very key boardroom level question.
Is there a science behind that?
There are sciences to help guide the decision, but it's not like engineering. There's still an art to it. A good example would be contrasting Zipcar, which does car sharing, versus Hertz, which does car rental. Well, what's the difference between car sharing and car rental? Dollar per hour, dollar per day. Where do you return the car? These kinds of differences enabled Zipcar to go from nothing in 2003 to a $500 million sale to Avis, I think, in 2010. I could have the years wrong.
The Zipcar thing is a good example of, though, because you'd be nuts to rent a rental car. I won't name the company. You always said Hertz, but why would you pay that huge amount per day when you knew you were getting a better deal with the other?
Well, you need a Hertz when you go to an airport and you're going to use the car all day. Mm-hmm. But the Zipcar is really designed for the in-city person who just needs a car for an hour every week or every couple of weeks. So it has a different target market, a different application, and a very different pricing structure.
So your book, The Pricing Done Right, you've looked at a number of different areas. You've looked at what people are doing right, what they're doing wrong. What are they doing right?
When they get pricing done right, they do treat it as an action, as a verb. And like every other action of a company, it must be managed. There's a process. They build a culture around value-based pricing. They do a process. They engage the right individuals in the pricing decision. They conduct some research, and then they make an informed decision. When they get it wrong, they just shoot from the hip.
And when they get it wrong, too, I mentioned earlier that, you know, sometimes we don't notice, but I remember a case, maybe it was 5-10 years ago, where the cereal makers got into the hairs of moms because moms were noticing they were getting cheated, I think, out of cereal. When consumers get together and get their heads together and start fighting, it can be pretty bad for a company, can it?
It can be really bad, and that's an example of consumer backlash. Amazon also got consumer backlash for doing price testing on its website and people saying, why does he get a different price than this other person? The more common problem is they actually go bankrupt. Pilgrim's Pride Chicken used to be the number one chicken producer in the United States. They make the chicken for Walmart. They went bankrupt because Lonnie Bo Pilgrim decided, from his hip, I'm going to keep the price of chicken low, even though the price of chicken feed doubled. And he just went bankrupt. He was Pilgrim's Pride Chicken only exists today because it was bought by a Brazilian company, JBS.
One of the other examples is of companies that realize they've done the wrong thing with pricing is Fiat Chrysler, where they've really dropped the price of this one car about, what, $4,000?
They dropped the price of the Fiat 500 by $3,900. And I'm not sure if that was a smart price move or a dumb price move. When you lower the price, it's because you expect to sell more units. And that didn't happen when GoPro lowered the price of their camera. They didn't sell enough units, and they went from a huge profit to a huge loss on year over year, and that was between 2014 and 2015. In 2016, they did not repeat the bad decision. And when you lower price, you expect to sell more. Fiat 500, they lowered the price by $3,900. The question is will more people buy a Fiat 500? In America, where we're focused on SUVs and trucks, mm-hmm. and the price of gas is low, the overall demand for the category is pretty low, and I'm skeptical that that's going to bring in the sales that Marchionne needs.
We in the news today is the news about Macy's. They're closing quite a few of their stores, 10,000 people they're going to lay off. It was a rough holiday season for them and for other retailers. Are the situations where we see those retailers fighting against online, is that pricing have to do with some of the failures there?
Absolutely, pricing has a lot to do with the challenges that brick-and-mortar stores are having in reaching customers. Customers are going online. They're buying things online. And Amazon's willing to compete with prices online. So for customers to actually go to Macy's or another department store, that department store has to give them a reason to come in the door other than just the lowest price, because they're not going to be able to win the lowest price game for very long.
Do you foresee more of the consolidation happening in this area? Like we see Macy's closing stores. Are we going to see more of these brick-and-mortar stores go away because of mistakes they've made perhaps in the past with pricing?
I would say that they will be going away, but I would not use the word mistake.
Okay.
It's just a huge shift, a tectonic shift in the landscape of business. So malls, General Growth Properties, and some of the other mall companies, they themselves are having a problem or trying to rethink the purpose of the mall as a gathering place. And they're adding in more event-oriented places as the retail people walk away.
What would be your advice to both consumers and companies who might be listening about moving forward with this notion of finding the right price and doing the right thing in that area? What would your advice be first to businesses?
Well, yes. So in terms of finding the right price, we have to break pricing down into many different areas. There's the pricing, the business strategy, the price structure. Are you doing two-part tariff, revenue management, versioning tiered, bundled, unit pricing, tying arrangements? How do you actually structure the prices or SaaS subscriptions? Then the price level, discounts, promotions, and finally execution. So there's like five areas to be managed in pricing. Every one of those areas needs at least some attention, and some need a lot of attention. Companies that get at least one of those areas right tend to keep moving forward. When they pay no attention to any of them, they end up like JCPenney, where CEOs walk away.
Right, or get their walking papers. And then for consumers, can they take part, maybe seek out some of these control groups or focus groups that companies do and take part that way? And then are there any recourses if consumers get angry? I mentioned the moms earlier.
Well, yeah, the anger is a real recourse. As far as participating in focus groups or research, there's no real benefit for the customer to do this. Then again, there's also no downside. Why are companies paying for market research? Because they really want to understand what customers want. And it's hard to understand what customers want by staring in a blank wall. You actually have to talk to customers.
Mm-hmm.
For people, when they don't like a product, the beauty of competition is stop buying. If you don't like something, go away.
Over the holiday season, I've been paying close attention to social media accounts of some companies. There have been some high-profile ones. Wendy's had a nice argument recently with one of its customers and won, and there was some backlash there. How important is social media to both sides of this equation?
It's a wonderful new communication channel. It's more immediate, and yet there's also a challenge where people tend to lose their social graces. They become cruel.
Trolls.
Right. Yeah, that's right. A good word.
Okay. But also, it's almost immediate market research for a company. If they've done something wrong, they're going to hear about it immediately.
Yeah, they're going to hear about it immediately. They're going to get the market research back. They're going to at least see responses. I myself have a lot of followers on LinkedIn, and it's very, very easy to see what people want to learn and what they don't want to learn.
What would you say are going to be the trends in 2017? Anything coming that in this area?
In terms of pricing, you're going to keep hearing about more algorithms and software firms. Some of it will be a lot of it will be hype. Some of it will be real.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to keep seeing companies starting to improve their pricing function in terms of hiring people and actually having them trained specifically in pricing. And pricing is not economics. It's not pure marketing. It's not pure finance. And it's not pure sales. So it's like a weird new discipline.
Well, it's good chatting with you, and I'm going to be more mindful now as I look into my products. Before I bite down on the Toblerone, I'm going to see if the peaks and valleys are right.
Okay.
It's good to talk with you. Tim Smith is the author of Pricing Done Right, founder and CEO of Wiglaf Pricing, and a DePaul University professor. Good to have you with us this morning.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:51 on this Thursday edition of the show on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Dow futures are now negative, off about 4. NASDAQ and S&P futures are off as well. Crude oil trading $53.50 a barrel. Let's get the latest on commodities and agriculture now. And good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. As we look at live cattle futures yesterday, they reversed the prior day's losses. Strength coming from technical buying and short covering. As a matter of fact, funds have huge long futures positions. That means they may continue defending them or cause a steep decline when they tried to get out of the market. And in the hog futures trade yesterday, also a green screen. Again, short covering, fund buying, helping the lean hog contracts partially recover from Tuesday's sell-off. So at the end of the day yesterday, we had the February lean hog contract up 97 cents, February live cattle contract up 82 cents, but the January feeder cattle contract lost $1.45 yesterday. Weather impacting the grain market again. Soybeans firm on bargain buying. As a matter of fact, soybeans up 1.9% on a round of bargain buying following three straight days of declines. Corn futures up for the fourth session in a row. Wheat firmed on support from worsening crop conditions in this country. And so when all of that happened yesterday, and then the report from Argentina that, yes, those rains could be more of a problem than we originally thought in South America. And so at the end of the day, we saw the March wheat contract up 11.25, March corn up 2.75, January soybeans up 18.25. Coming up Saturday of this week, American Farm Bureau Federation Convention in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be there to cover that. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a great day as well. Now at 5:54, the Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Thursday. It's January 5th, 2017. Payroll processor ADP reports today on how many private jobs employers added in December. The Labor Department will release the number of people who applied for unemployment benefits last week. The big monthly jobs report is tomorrow, Friday. Also today, the Institute for Supply Management, a trade group of purchasing managers, issues its index of non-manufacturing activity for December. Freddie Mac will also report on this week's average U.S. mortgage rates. Also on our calendar, the CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, continues in Las Vegas. Boeing's 2016 commercial plane order report is due out today. We'll also see how Adobe did during the holiday season. Adobe releases its sales figures for the holidays today. And later today, a scientific report from the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. We're expecting a report on health guidelines about how health care providers can intervene early in peanut-containing allergies, peanut allergies for foods, especially for infants and the elderly. A report coming out later today from the medical community. Some of those, or all of those, could drive the markets as we move through the day. We'll continue to watch your money throughout the morning. The Steve Cochran Show is coming up next. We'll have business throughout the show, and we'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning for another edition of The Opening Bell. I'm Steve Grzanich. Have a great day.